Hello and welcome to Over the Counter, the podcast from Drug Topics. I'm your host, Gabrielle Entile. This episode is brought to you in part by Omega Pharmacy Group. Omega represents independent pharmacies leveraging buying power to help them access pharmaceuticals at the best prices. As a buying group, Omega provides contract negotiations and vendor relationship management, analytical reporting, and marketplace trend reporting. Omega Pharmacy Group was formalized and is now a rapidly expanding group of numerous independent pharmacies sharing common ideas, business goals, and enjoying the same benefits. Learn more today at OmegaRxGroup.com. In this episode, Jonathan Kurtz and Anthony Resnick will be walking us through their pick of leading industry trends, Medicaid fee-for-service updates, list their top legal issues for pharmacists to follow, and offer recommendations on vaccine programs. So before we get started today, Jonathan and Anthony, can you both speak a bit to your professional backgrounds and the mission of Omega Pharmacy Group?
My name is Jonathan Kurtz. I'm the CEO of the Omega Buying Group. My career, I've been in the drug wholesale business for about 20, 25 years. I came from operations in Wall Street and banking, and then I moved into working for a drug wholesaler. And then I ended up coming to work here. So the Omega Buying Group has been around for a while. It was mostly the owners of the company and their friends and family. And about 8 years ago, they decided to make it into a professional corporation of a buying group, and I was their first hire. We fast forward to 8 years later. We started out in the tri-state area. We have now decided to go national, so we do have sales reps in other states. We have grown in leaps and bounds since I first got here 8 years ago. Our mission statement is to be advocates for independent pharmacy. So what we do here is that the average pharmacy volume is about $150,000 a month. And that store isn't able to buy from a wholesaler because of the monthly volume. So we aggregate all of our volume together, and then we go negotiate on behalf of all of our members to get them a better discount. So we've been doing that for quite a while. It's been working out pretty well for us. We also have salespeople that call on our members. We're advocates for independent pharmacy. There is no fee to join the group. You could leave whenever you'd like. Our deal is good enough that there's no reason for us to lock you into any agreement. There are other groups that do that, but we feel confident in what we do. So we try to teach our members the best way to buy. You know, pharmacists are extremely transaction oriented people, and they don't look at the bigger picture. So it's an ongoing learning experience for the store once they join the group to make sure that they're getting the benefits that we offer. We have vendor programs if they choose to participate. We don't really force anybody into participating in any of the vendor agreements. It's up to you. If you'd like some of the vendors and you want to use them, whether it's greeting cards, vial company, vitamins, we'll leave that at your discretion. We take a lot of responsibility in being politically active to help out not only our members, but all independent pharmacies. And that's why we have Anthony Resnick, who's the Director of Governmental Affairs. So when we get something accomplished, it's not just for our members, it's for independent pharmacy as a whole. Because we do want, as the Omega Buying Group, for everybody who owns an independent store to be successful.
I'm Anthony Resnick. I'm the Government Affairs Director for Omega Pharmacy Group. I have 24 years of experience in government affairs, legislation, and public policy. And I've been working in the independent pharmacy industry for the past 7 years.
Great. Thank you both for those backgrounds. We've seen some pretty big updates in regard to Medicaid fee-for-service and managed care plans. For instance, California is planning to implement a fee-for-service program in April. Can you discuss some of the major updates and what pharmacists should know about Medicaid fee-for-service?
Well, Medicaid fee-for-service is not a new thing. Prior to Medicaid managed care, most pharmacies that do Medicaid right now, they get reimbursed by pharmacy benefit managers who are part of what's called Medicaid managed care. And in New Jersey, for instance, we have 5 to 6 Medicaid managed care programs. They're usually insurance companies like United Health, Cigna, and others. And they all employ pharmacy benefit managers to reimburse pharmacies. But what a lot of states have found over the course of the last 10 years that have switched over to Medicaid managed care is that instead of saving money, they've been losing money. Medicaid beneficiaries have been paying more money for their prescription drugs. Pharmacies have been reimbursed less, yet the state's cost of the prescription drug benefit for Medicaid has been increasing exponentially. And for instance, in New Jersey, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in the state budget. And as a result, taxpayers are paying more money. Beneficiaries that are in the Medicaid program are also paying more money for their prescription drugs. At the same time, the independent pharmacies that serve these communities are being reimbursed less and less and less. So the experiment of Medicaid managed care, the prescription drugs, in the first year, they saved $50 million in their Medicaid program. And they were able to make the independent pharmacies in West Virginia whole by increasing their reimbursement rates. And we've seen these types of numbers throughout the country where states have gone back to a fee-for-service system. And California will be the latest one to do so.
And also Alabama has been doing it for years. And when you look at the scope of the dollars spent on Medicaid, let's take the state of New York, and we're talking about full Medicaid, not just the prescription of it. In the state of New York, they spend $59 billion on Medicaid participants. That's a huge number. We feel that it needs to go to a fee-for-service. It's a win for the state that you're in. It's a win for the independent pharmacy owner. And it's a win for the patient.
And are there any drawbacks of the fee-for-service? Why are so many states, why do they have the other form?
The reason Medicaid managed care was brought in, originally policymakers were unfortunately sold on the idea that if they brought in insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers into the Medicaid system, that they could actually save more money. That was the initial idea. It was very attractive because you're bringing in large insurance companies, large pharmacy benefit managers to manage the Medicaid drug spending and benefit for the state. So on the one hand, this is a job that the state wouldn't have to do. They could give it to these vendors to provide the prescription drug benefit for Medicaid beneficiaries too. They were told that they were going to achieve a large amount of savings. And instead, states have lost money. And the reason they've lost money is because pharmacy benefit managers have been employing various plans, and they've been and these opaque processes where states actually lose money, but PBMs, they enrich themselves. We have processes in Medicaid like spread pricing, where the state is being overcharged for prescription drugs, while the pharmacy is being underpaid for the prescription drugs. And the PBM is in the middle of this process, and they're keeping what's known as the spread. And these spreads, in Ohio, for instance, they've shown that spread pricing has cost the state of Ohio and their Medicaid program over $200 million. And that's why they're currently in the process in Ohio of reforming their Medicaid system. So all over the country, every state, the majority of states, they were sold years ago that Medicaid managed care would be a lifesaver in terms of state budgets. And instead, it's become a huge cost driver. And that's why we're seeing a lot of states now, they're in the process of investigating. And those states that have investigated, like California, are planning to make the switch to fee-for-service.
And just going back to New Jersey specifically, can you touch a little bit more on the New Jersey PBM law?
The great thing about the New Jersey PBM law, let me give you some history behind it. So the Omega Pharmacy Group works in connection with other pharmacy groups in New Jersey and across the country. The way you win in politics is through coalitions. I've spent 24 years building various coalitions between different interest groups. And independent pharmacy is no different, where, you know, no person is an island unto themselves. And so Omega Pharmacy Group is working hand in hand with other pharmacy groups. We've combined our political muscle, financial muscle together, and we passed three very good PBM laws in the state of New Jersey. Our laws are considered to be national models across the country. We've been recognized by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners as having one of the best pharmacy benefit manager laws in the country. And the law itself is pretty simple. You can boil it down to one particular thing, although there are many aspects to it, but one particular thing. It allows the pharmacy to file an appeal if they're reimbursed at their cost or below their acquisition cost. So if the pharmacy purchases a drug and they dispense the drug to a patient, they perform the service, and then the PBM reimburses them below their acquisition cost, they can file an appeal. In the past, what has happened is that when a pharmacy has filed an appeal, they would receive responses that, well, you were paid the correct rate, and there was no other option for the pharmacy to challenge the PBM's decision. Now, under the New Jersey law, the PBM and the PSAO, which is the Pharmacist Services Administrator organization, they have to provide the pharmacy the wholesale that can sell the prescription drug at the PBM's price or below the PBM's price to the pharmacy. If they cannot provide that wholesaler to the pharmacy, where the pharmacy could actually purchase that drug, they have to approve the appeal and put them into positive territory. Our statute in New Jersey is probably one of the best in the country, because what we're really requiring the PBM to do is provide evidence that their reimbursement rate, that the price actually exists somewhere in the market, which they've never had to do before. And many of our pharmacies have been taking advantage of the law. Some of them have been able to win more appeals as a result. But of course, passing a statute is only 50% of the work. We've passed the statute. The independent pharmacy industry, along with Omega's help, has been helping pharmacies file appeals. But our major challenge right now, along with every other state that has passed some form of a PBM reform law, is to get the state to fully enforce the statute. So there's two aspects to passing a law. One aspect is actually passing the law through the state legislative process, getting the governor to sign the law. The second process is to get your particular Department of Insurance, in this case, the New Jersey Department of Bank Insurance, to fully enforce it. So, I would say we're about 50% of the way there to full enforcement, but those pharmacies who are filing appeals now, they found that in many instances, they are either winning the appeal because the PBM could not provide them a wholesaler where they can purchase the product at the PBM's price, or the wholesaler is being provided to them. But it's extremely important for the pharmacy to understand what their rights are under the law, because if they do not understand their rights under the statute, their PSAO and their PBM may take advantage of them. But those pharmacies who do understand the law, they found in many instances that their rights were being preserved by their PSAO in those instances. And I recommend to any pharmacy that's listening to this broadcast, contact the Omega Pharmacy Group. Ask them, I would like to know what my rights are under New Jersey statute. And we'll get in touch with you and we'll make sure that you know what your rights are under the state statute. if you are outside of New Jersey and you're interested in our law and how that could possibly be applied in your state, please contact the Omega Pharmacy Group so that we can tell you what we did here in New Jersey and how that could possibly be modeled in your particular state.
Javi, just how big of a lift is it for this law to actually be enacted? What's sort of like the timeline of that?
Politics is interesting because there are no guarantees in politics. There are so many facets to passing a law. First, you have to provide evidence to the legislators that there's a problem. And in this particular case, there were two problems. One, patients are paying too high of a price for their prescription drugs. And I think that's something that's being recognized all over the country. Legislators are, over the last several years, they've recognized that PBMs are overcharging patients for their prescription drugs. It's important to understand that the pharmacy is not actually the entity that charges the patient for the drug. It's their health plan, but specifically their pharmacy benefit manager that decides how much they pay at the pharmacy counter. So we presented Omega Pharmacy Group, along with the New Jersey Coalition, these facts to the state legislators. So education is the key. You have to educate the legislators. Then once you educate the legislators, you have to come up with a piece of legislation. And the piece of legislation has to be, initially something that the legislators feel comfortable with in terms of introducing. So then you have your educational portion, you've introduced your piece of legislation. And then the difficult work comes in, because now we're getting the bill scheduled for hearings in various legislative committees. But then you have to testify in favor of the bill, but you also have the opposition that testifies against your bill. And in our case, we have multi-billion dollar companies such as pharmacy benefit managers, and we're talking like Optum, Express Scripts, CVS, Caremark. I mean, these are Fortune 500 companies that are testifying against lobbyists like myself and those lobbyists in our coalition in New Jersey to prevent these bills from moving forward. And they bring up accusations, and they also bring up, what I would call their own facts that they make up, stating that, somehow these statutes would increase costs for the patient. And in a way, their arguments make it easy for us to argue against them, because the pharmacy does not decide how much a patient pays at the pharmacy counter. The pharmacy benefit manager, they control the entire drug supply chain. And it was easy for us to explain how the PBM influences drug prices, what they do to the pharmacy in terms of underpaying the pharmacy, overcharging the patient, overcharging the state, overcharging taxpayers for prescription drugs. But again, we're dealing with forces and with companies that have an unending supply of resources. Between myself and some of my colleagues in the legislature, we have 50 years of experience in terms of lobbying government affairs. And it takes a lot of work. And I can give you an example. To reach the point that we've reached right now with our law in New Jersey, it took a span of maybe 4 to 5 years. And we are only 50% there. The other half is, now that we have the law in place and now that we have some pharmacies taking advantage of it, we need to get the state to fully enforce the law.
So with these laws, is the goal to completely carve out PBM's presence or just to revitalize their role in all this?
PBMs will never fully disappear, especially in the private market. So with the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance, the goal is to convince them to actually enforce the statute fully, so the pharmacies don't have to go through the entire process that I mentioned to you of appeals, that the PBM and the PSAO would comply with the statute so that the pharmacy won't have to fight for every nook and cranny when they file these appeals. With Medicaid, it's a different animal. So Medicaid, currently, what we're trying to do with that, we are trying to return it to a fee-for-service system, which is what it was over, about two decades ago. And that would mean carving PBMs out altogether and returning it back to the fee-for-service system, where the state would manage the Medicaid RX benefit program and administer that program to the beneficiary and reimburse the pharmacy without the middleman that's gobbling up all of these extra dollars that could be used to lower drug prices to keep independent pharmacies whole while they're performing important work like, vaccinating patients, testing for COVID-19. So with the Medicaid program, that's what we're seeking to do. We want to return it to a fee-for-service system so the state could save more taxpayer dollars, keep pharmacies whole, and at the same time, reduce the drug spend for Medicaid beneficiaries. With the statute that we have in place, that covers commercial plans, your everyday average commercial plan. And with that, we need the Department of Banking and Insurance to fully enforce the statute, and which we're hoping will happen at some point this year.
And what about direct and indirect remuneration fees? Do you have any updates on legislation for those?
Our states cannot regulate DIR fees, DIR fees. Those are fees specific to Medicare Part D. The Omega Pharmacy Group is working with the National Community Pharmacists Association, NCPA, on the federal level. There's a bill that would require all DIR fees in Congress to be processed at the point of sale. So when the pharmacy is reimbursed at the point of sale, they would see what all their fees are, and they would know what their true reimbursement rate actually is. Because most of us who aren't in pharmacy, we receive a paycheck, we know what our biweekly, weekly paychecks are, and we depend on those paychecks. But the small independent pharmacies that we represent, in many cases, they're in dire straits because of these DIR fees. When these DIR fees are charged to them retroactively, they believe that their reimbursement rate is one thing, but then it turns out it's a whole different thing altogether. And then they end up losing money. There's less money for them to pay for medical benefits for their staff, pay salaries, and also less money for their business to provide the important services that they're providing during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we are working with NCPA. We are supporting them in every way that we can on the federal level to get this bill passed through Congress. NCPA has also recently put in a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health to require that these DIR fees be placed at the point of sale. We are in full support of their lawsuit, and we are helping them in any way possible with the lawsuit that's currently taking place. However, one thing I'd like to mention about the state law in New Jersey and why it can be used as a national model, there are all sorts of other types of fees besides DIR fees. In commercial plan, we have fees such as generic effective rate, brand effective rate, dispensing fee effective rate. And these are all reimbursement formulas and fees that pharmacies get charged in commercial plans after the point of sale. Our law in the state of New Jersey requires that all of these fees that I just described, they have to be charged by their PSAO through their PBM at the point of sale in commercial plans. So when a pharmacy is looking at their billing and what they're being reimbursed under, they need to separate the commercial fees from the Medicare Part D fees. And then they have to have conversations with their PSAO, because if they're not aware of their rights, that their commercial fees, all of them, have to be at the point of sale, they need to get aggressive and they need to contact their PSAO. And they have to tell them, look, you cannot charge me commercial fees retroactively. They have to be at the point of sale.
So shifting to vaccination and COVID-19 now, what do you recommend to pharmacists who are administering these vaccines and finding themselves in need of some resources and counsel
So one of the things we try to do here at Omega is when this COVID first came about, we took a survey and asked how many of our stores were able to give any kind of vaccine. This didn't have to be the COVID-19 vaccine. It could be the shingles. It could be the flu. We came to the realization is that we don't have as many people as we should being able to administer any of these vaccines. So then we took the next step to get all the information to our stores on how you have to go about to be certified to be able to give these vaccines. We've made great strides of getting a lot more of our members now being able or being certified to be able to give all sorts of different vaccines. We feel here at Omega is that we look at topics, not just vaccines. There was medication therapy management, where it took us a good 18 months to convince all of our stores that they needed to do medication therapy management cases. And the argument to us was, well, some of those cases take 5 minutes, but some of those cases take a half an hour, and really not a lot of money involved in there. But the point that they missed, which they now get, is that if you go into a store and the store refuses to do that MTM, that patient will get a letter saying, you can't go to that store no more. Here's a list of stores that you can go to. So when that patient picks one of those stores off that list and walks into that pharmacy, whether it's a chain or an independent, that store owner or chain is going to say, by the way, I can do your MTMs, but why don't you push all of your other prescriptions that you take over to my store? Because otherwise, you're going to have to come here for MTMs and then go to the other store to get your prescriptions. Why don't you just move the prescriptions over? So each year, we pick a topic. It was MTM. It took us a long time. And now we're on the vaccine kick to get as many people as we can be certified to be able to do that. One of the things that we're working on now is we're working on the rapid testing program with the state of New York, right? So that's another thing where there's some certification or some forms that you need to be filled out so that you could administer these rapid tests. So here, we're just not at Omega, when it's not about what we call the cost of goods of the products you buy from the wholesaler, is that we're always looking for what the trends are, what could you do to be more benefit to your community, right? When you talk about this vaccine, there's areas in the states that we cover, there is no CVS, there is no Walgreens, there is no Rite Aid. They don't want to go there. So who's going to administer those vaccines to those people? Who's going to do that? It's the independent community pharmacy. And that's the message that we've been conveying, and we've been getting good results. More and more each day, we're getting more and more people to get certified to be able to do the vaccine. I have a customer who he got it from Moderna last March. Do you know what that guy had to do to get that from them? But he's been doing vaccines. He's booked 7 days a week. And he laid out the money for that freezer. And what happened to his business? It's increased by tenfold. Because all these people that are coming in to get this vaccine, they're going, you know what? I'm going to switch my prescriptions from CVS. I'm going to switch them over to Walgreens. So this is a big benefit for independent pharmacies to grab hold of this and provide an essential service for the community that they serve.
For all Omega Pharmacy members and new members that sign up, please keep a lookout for our Omega Monthly Update. We send out an Omega Monthly Update on all of the latest news and information regarding the independent pharmacy industry. We've been concentrating specifically on the vaccine, on COVID testing. So every member, keep an eye out for that update. It should provide you a lot of information because news on the vaccine and regulations on the vaccine change quickly, almost on a weekly basis. There's something new. And if anyone has any questions about any of the things that they see in the monthly update, or, you know, they're interested in vaccinating. They've never vaccinated before. They're wondering how can they sign up in New York or New Jersey or in a different state. Contact the Omega Pharmacy Group. We will get you set up.
That's all for this episode of Over the Counter. For more episodes, go to drugtopics.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to Over the Counter so you can be the first to know when a new episode is streaming. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time at the counter.